Hello and welcome to the IA podcast. My name is Kieran Neildaly and I am Communications and Marketing Assistant at the Institute of Economic Affairs. In this episode, I'll be talking to Juan Castaneda, author of the IA research paper, Modern Monetary Theory, Why It Can't Provide Sustainable Economic Growth and Low Inflation. A link to the paper is provided in the show notes. Juan is director of the Institute of International Monetary Research, a senior lecturer at the University of Buckingham, a review editor of the journal Economic Affairs, and a member of the Institute of Economic Affairs Shadow Monetary Policy Committee. So welcome, Juan. Let's begin first. Can you explain to our listeners what the central theme of your paper is and what you wish to achieve with the paper?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for your invitation to be here. It is a pleasure for me to contribute to the IA podcast series. So what I try to do is to explain what the modern monetary theory is about and to show which would be the effects of its systematic application by central banks, especially in the aftermath of a major crisis like COVID-19 crisis. And also, secondly, what I do is to debunk a common myth spread out by MMT advocates, which is that a fully monetary sovereign government can always resort to what we call the printing press to pay for the deficit, for the government deficit, with no harm to the economy in terms of inflation or macroeconomic instability.
So can you explain in a nutshell what modern monetary theory is?
Well, first, a caveat. It is very difficult to assess what MMT is, and it is because the exposition of MMT's fundamentals by their own supporters is far from being clear. It is often a collection of very imprecise and even contradictory statements. And again, this makes it very difficult to grasp all its fundamentals and produce a fair and consistent assessment. So what I did is to use the works written by MMT supporters, by its major exponents in the last few years. So for example, I based my analysis on the new textbook in macroeconomics by Mitchell, Randall Ray, and Waltz. Also the works by one of the self-proclaimed founders of MMT, Warren Mosler, and also the ideas in the very the best selling book by Stephanie Kelton, The Deficit Myth, MMT, and the Birth of People's Economy. So these are the major works that I have used in my assessment, even though, I have used others. And if I may, a second caveat, MMT only applies to a fully monetary sovereign country. What do we mean by this? Well, a country with a central bank issuing its own national currency under no exchange rate commitments. So in this scenario, as we know, the central bank or the government is free to run what we call an autonomous monetary policy focus on domestic targets. So once we have stated these two caveats, what is MMT about? Well, MMT proponents describe how the monetary system operates and how it can be used to change very radically the way in which fiscal spending is financed. So first of all, MMT's major contribution is to state that in purely fiat monetary systems, such as our modern monetary systems, the government can create as much money as they wish with no limitation. And this is true. They are right in saying that. All the central bank needs to do is to credit the treasury's account at the central bank for the amount of money, millions or billions of pounds, newly created. It is effectively an electronic order made by the central bank with no actual physical creation of money involved. So if we take this statement as one of the major pillars of MMT, we will understand much better one of the major policy outcomes coming from this from MMT, from this unlimited ability of governments to create money. And this is that they can never default in their own currency. They can always print out more money. Well, I'm afraid that I don't agree with this. This is simply not true. And perhaps we can discuss it later if you like. A second contribution of MMT is that they explain, and again rightly, the ability of banks to create money by just simply extending a loan to a new customer and creating a deposit, a new deposit. They don't need to rely on the money received by the depositors or the central bank in the first place. They're not merely intermediaries between savers and borrowers. They can just create bank deposits straight away by using their own capital. Then, in case needed, they can go to the central bank and borrow money, if need be, to comply with the reserve or the liquidity ratio.
Okay, so is modern monetary theory a new idea? What are the origins of the theory?
Well, it is not really a new idea. The MMT major policy recommendations have been tried before. Every time we have removed the constraints on governments to print more money, either by debasing the currency in terms of metallic money or just to inflate the market with more currency. This has always been a sort of a resort used by governments to finance their expenditure, and especially in times of crisis. This is actually at the core of the establishment of modern central banks in Europe and in the UK. The novelty this time is that these ideas are now presented under MMT as a label, as if it were a theory at the disposal of policymakers to exploit the ability of governments to create new money. Whereas in the past, it used to be just a sort of a desperate resort for financing deficits in crisis times. So MMT is presented as new or modern, but it isn't. It's very much based on old Keynesian models and prescriptions of the post-Second War years in the 1950s and 60s, with the central bank fully subordinate to the Treasury.
Okay, so one aspect of the paper I found difficult to get my head around as a non-economist was the creation of new money by central banks. So we've often heard the phrase, you know, printing more money. But this isn't the case, is it? New money is electronic. Can you explain to our listeners how banks create new money? Because obviously I think this is an important concept to understand if we're going to understand modern monetary theory.
Yeah, you couldn't be more right. This is at the core of what MMT advocates for. So the bulk of money we use in our ordinary transactions is created by commercial banks. It depends on the economy, but roughly between 80 or 90% of our total means of payments in our economies is created by banks. And as I said before, what banks do is to create money by lending to customers. And thus, what they do is to create new deposits that can be used to make payments. But all of this is created electronically by banks. Every time we make a payment, we order a transfer, or we make a payment with a debit card or a credit card, all we are doing is to order our bank to transfer electronically again our money from our deposit into somebody else's deposits. So this involves no transfer of physical money, but again, it's just an electronic order from a customer to a bank to transfer money into somebody else's account. And the same applies to the money created by the central bank, indeed also electronic money. So when the central bank lends out money to a bank, all it does is to credit the bank's account for the amount lent in exchange of an asset or a collateral. Again, it's just an electronic order. And this ability to create money that easily is precisely what MMT advocates want to exploit, and why they rightly say that the government can create as much money as they like to pay for all government spending if they like.
Okay, so in your report, you look at the pandemic response of the US and the UK economies. Did the UK and US adopt modern monetary theory principles, and what are they?
I think that unintentionally, they did, but to some extent. If you like, it's like a light version of MMT so far. So at least what we can say is that they have moved in the MMT direction, but we're not there yet, fortunately, in my opinion. This is because both the US Federal Reserve, which is the central bank in the USA, and the Bank of England have effectively monetized the very much enlarged deficits incurred by their respective governments in 2020 in the aftermath of the COVID-19 crisis. This means that they have purchased a large part of the debt issued by their governments at very, very low interest rates, extraordinarily low interest rates. This is the policy central banks have implemented under what we call QE, quantitative easing. What QE simply means is that the central bank buys assets from banks and other financial institutions, and mostly public bonds. Therefore, what the central bank becomes is a major creditor to the government, because it accumulates a large part of the debt issued by the government. This has resulted in record high rates of growth of money, broadly defined, including bank deposits, in both economies, in the US and the UK, in peacetime at least. At the moment, money growth is at 22% annual growth in the USA and 15% in the UK. These are extraordinary numbers. We hadn't seen these figures in decades. But to fully adopt MMT would mean to take a step further. And rather than buying the debt of the government, as central banks have done in 2020 and still in 2021, what central banks would do under MMT is just to create new electronic money and credit the treasury account at the central bank. So no borrowing needed or involved, no need to pay back or to service the debt. It's just to create new money and to give it, to credit the treasury account for that amount of money. That's all. So in this case, what the central bank would do would be to pay for all government deficit or even all government expenditure. So fortunately, we haven't done it so far. We're not there yet. But again, we're moving in that direction.
Okay, so what would have happened had the UK adopted a full modern monetary theory approach? What would it have done to the UK economy?
Yes, sure. In the report, what I do is to run two simulations. How much money would grow alone if the Bank of England opted for different options of MMT? Option one, which is the light or partial MMT option, would mean to pay for all government deficit, to monetize all government deficit. And option two would be even to take a step further and to pay for all government spending. This is what I call total MMT. Well, the monetization of the UK government deficit in 2020 alone, so a partial MMT, would have implied an increase in money growth of 10% in the UK. Whereas the amount of money in 2020, measured by the monetary aggregate M4 in the UK, increased around 14%, which shows how extraordinarily high the growth of money has been in the UK when compared to some of the MMT proposals. However, the application of a partial MMT policy would produce even a much greater rate of growth of money in 2021, 16%. And if full MMT were adopted so that all government spending were monetized by the Bank of England, the annual rate of growth of money would have been 48% in 2020 and would be 36% in 2021 and 23% in 2022. And on top of these figures, we'll need to add the money created organically or normally by commercial banks every year by creating new loans and new deposits. That would be another 4% on top of that.
So what are the dangers of MMT?
Adopting MMT prescriptions as a systematic set of policies by the central bank would mean a regime change in our economies, a structural change, if you like, in our economies. With broad money growth in the double digits territory for long, we'll have first the end of an era of price stability and low inflation expectations. Over the medium to long term, we have extensive empirical evidence to prove that excessive money growth leads to inflation. And what do we mean by excessive? Well, for an economy like the UK economy, with the long-term average economic growth around 2% per year and inflation target around 2%, the amount of money broadly defined, including bank deposits, should grow around 5-6% year on year. What we have seen since 2020 is that the rate of growth of money has doubled that benchmark of macroeconomic stability. And it's indeed, in my opinion, a signal of high inflation later in 2021 and over 2022 too. If MMT were adopted, again, systematically, high money growth and for longer would follow, and thus a period of systematic higher inflation. And why is this relevant? Well, a period of higher money growth would likely lead to unsustainable asset prices growth, and overall spending would be also unsustainable. And this will be followed eventually by high interest rates and the return of the boom and bust cycles of the past. I mean, we know it because we have been there before. So rather than MMT proposals, what we need is monetary stability along the cycle. So the central bank does not feed up an expansionary cycle with more money, nor let money fall dramatically in crisis times. This is the best the central bank can do to maintain price and financial stability. So the modern monetary theory advocates focus on the ability of governments to create new money with no restrictions, apparently. And again, this is right, but only nominally. There are indeed real restrictions and constraints over the medium to long term. In a high inflation scenario, people would try to protect their income and will use other means of payments or even assets to put their savings on. If the government keeps on creating more money, because they can, practically speaking, they can do it, it would make things worse and create more inflation still. And in extreme scenario and the hyperinflation, people will just abandon the national currency altogether and resort to a more stable currency instead. There are indeed limits to monetary sovereignty.
Yeah, that's interesting. And today, especially, I know that the consumer price index is showing inflation is rising already. But MMT is not just about inflation and risk. It's also about the role the central bank plays in the political system. So can you explain, under MMT, what role do central banks play and what dangers does that pose?
Yeah, this is a very good point. And indeed, one of the side effects, if you like, of MMT. Very much enlarged quantitative easing policies by central banks since March 2020 have put them in a very difficult institutional position. Central bank independence, in my opinion, will be tested, and very much so, at the end of 2021 or in the second half of the year and over 2022, when we will likely see a significant increase in spending and in CPI inflation. They will have to choose between pursuing their own inflation targets compatible with price stability, which will almost certainly mean tightening monetary policy to avoid future inflation. That's what we call a monetary dominance scenario. Or they can choose keeping very low interest rates as they are now and very loose monetary conditions for longer to support the government. That would be a fiscal dominance scenario. So if MMT is adopted, central banks will just surrender monetary stability. They will fully become dependent on the treasury, and the amount of money in the economy and consequent inflation will be determined by the decisions made by the government at the time. If this route is taken, well, we have ample historical evidence and very sound monetary theory to predict an economy entrenched in enlarged government spending, much higher rates of growth in the amount of money in the future, and therefore much higher inflation for long.
So do you think modern monetary theory will become a mainstream way of thinking about fiscal and monetary policy? Will we see left-leaning politicians say we can afford, you know, X nationalization program, or we can spend X amount of money because of modern monetary theory? You know, we can print or create as much money as we can. You know, will there be a sort of paradigm shift in our thinking about monetary theory?
I don't think it will in the end, even though it has already been used by left-leaning Democrats in the USA to support greater government spending in the country. So yes, in the short term, I can see politicians using MMT prescriptions as the basis to spend more money. That I can see. But I don't think it will become mainstream or that it will last for long. Because if applied systematically, when people start to experience higher inflation rates, higher borrowing costs, indeed macroeconomic instability, as I said before, the return to boom and bust cycles, I don't think they are going to support these policies, nor the governments responsible for them. But in my opinion, we just shouldn't try them in the first place.
That's all we've got time for. Thank you to Juan Castaneda for a fascinating discussion. You can read Juan's paper on the IEA website, iea.org.uk, and there is a link to the paper in the show notes. I'd also like to thank our listeners for joining us today. I hope you found it as interesting as I did. We are producing a wide range of original content every month, so if you like what you heard, then please subscribe to the IEA podcast, which is available on Podbean, Spotify, and Apple. To help us keep providing free content during these tough times, if you know of someone who might consider making a donation, no matter how modest, please point them to iea.org.uk/donate now, where they can donate online. Once again, thank you for joining us today. We hope you will join us again soon.